Bienvenue to Committing to Cloud Native. Welcome to Committing to Cloud Native. This is the podcast where we talk about open source and cloud native applications. How can we combine the two? What is the future of cloud native? Where are we going? Super exciting. On this podcast, we have me, Richard Littauer.
Hello, everyone.
And we also have Justin Dorfman as my fellow panelist. Justin Dorfman, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing excellent. Curry Fence updates. All right, updates for this week. First, we have two new blog posts on service meshes at curryfence.io/blog. That's CURIEFENSE.io/blog. Go check those out. Share them widely. Thank you very much. Also, FluentD support is coming. Super excited about that. Been working really hard to get that out. And finally, we are loving Jekyll Admin for writing blog posts. Jekyll is a really awesome platform for building open source blogs, but it's kind of hard to convince everyone to use Markdown. Jekyll Admin makes it super easy for us to manage our posts. So go check out Jekyll Admin. Thank you so much. Those are the updates for CurieFence this week. We have a wonderful guest today. I'm super excited to announce Sergio Mendez is on the podcast. Sergio, how are you doing?
Yeah, nice. A really warm day. So yeah, a little busy running to one side to another. Yeah.
Of course it's warm. You're so lucky. I'm in Vermont where it's really snowy. Sergio is calling in from Guatemala. So Sergio is the systems engineer and professor of operating systems, software engineering, and AI at San Carlos University of Guatemala. Sergio also has a startup that develops an online platform to join technology communities involved in topics like cloud native, DevOps, CI/CD, containers. He's currently working at Wiseline as an SRE and working on data ops using Airflow, Kubernetes, containers. And Sergio is the organizer of the Cloud Native Guatemala Community Group, which is super, super exciting. Can't wait to talk about that, where he's working to get students and people from Central America involved into the CNCF ecosystem. He's part of the community anchor program of Linkerd, and he was a speaker at KubeCon EU in 2020. Go check those videos out. I'm sure they're online. And this year for KubeCon EU and Service MeshCon 2021. Sergio, did I miss anything? Does that sound all right to you? Is any of that wrong?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of things there, yeah.
Linkerd, well, very important. Linkerd, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, they're very, yeah.
So Sergio, you've done a lot of work in this space, you know, all about cloud native and open source and systems engineering and stuff. How did you start getting involved? How did you end up being a professor at San Carlos University in Guatemala?
Well, it's like, not like a long story. I think that the first idea for me was like to be a kind of entrepreneur. So I said to myself, like, why not to pick some money from the university? I really love to teach and pick some money for my startup and that kind of thing. So I started to teach to the students and I tried to find a way to teach operating systems. So in that moment, the door was open. So I was really lucky to pick the course that I really like. So yeah, that was my way to start on the university. So San Carlos is like the public university of Guatemala. So it's the bigger one in the city. Well, in the country. Yeah, that's really big.
So how large is Guatemala? I'm not entirely familiar with Central America. I'm sorry about that.
Maybe like the size of one state of the US, maybe.
So you're in the main university of the main city. Would that be accurate to say?
Yeah.
Do you connect a lot with other people, say, so in your organization of like the Cloud Native Guatemala Community Group? Do you like liaise with people from Nicaragua, from Colombia, from Mexico?
There are a lot of people from different places. Let's say that I went to some conference, I don't remember, 2017 maybe, on LA. So I met some guy from Salvador and we talk about technology and that kind of things. In that moment, there was no like a popular way to talk about Kubernetes and that kind of thing. So we become friends and that things. And in some moment I create this community and I started to mention, hey, I have some event. Did you want to invite your friends or something like that? And it started to come in a lot of people from Salvador. And that's the way to start the community from people of Guatemala, Salvador. And then started to come people from Nicaragua. I started to pay a lot of ads in Facebook and that kind of things just to attract people because it was like a really specific kind of technology. And in that moment was not popular. So let's say that the ads on Facebook helped me to attract people in the first moment because it was like, what is this Kubernetes thing? A cloud native is like, sounds like, what is this thing?
How many people do you have in your community group?
Well, right now it's like 400 maybe on the meetup. Nice. Because CNCF is starting to move into another platform. Right now, I think that in the other platform are 200 people. Most of the people is like students and that kind of thing. So it's like a little bit difficult sometimes to manage the meetup and the other platform. So there's a lot of people in general, people from Central America.
But you're also not just organizing the community meetup and a professor. You also work at Wiseline. Can you explain what you do there?
I was automating machine learning pipelines to automate the whole process to deploy machine learning models using cloud technologies. Well, we will mainly use AWS, some technology called SageMaker, but we did a lot of POCs using Airflow and Kubernetes and that kind of open source technology. So yeah, that's mainly my journey on Wiseline on that moment. Yeah, automatizing machine learning models, pipelines, DevOps things, and more or less like that.
So how did you segue from just being like an SRE to really being involved in cloud native? Like, how did you start getting involved with Kubernetes?
Yeah, so my career on Kubernetes, well, that's different because it started on the university. It's like, yeah, it's a little bit funny, yeah. But that just to work as a professor. And I was like, well, I think that I am consider myself like a different kind of professor because let's say that we experiment with a lot of new technologies with the students because, well, I really like to experiment with new things. So that's the way that I really like to learn new technology. So I find Docker was really interesting. In that moment, I remember that the people was starting to mention Mesosphere, that right now is, I don't know.
Apache.
Apache Mesosphere and Mesos and that kind of thing. So in that moment was really popular. Kubernetes was like starting. I remember that I said myself that I don't know if Kubernetes has future. You say that doesn't support a lot of nodes to process data and that kind of thing. So I was like, I don't know what to choose, Mesos or Kubernetes. So yeah, that was in that moment. So I started to experiment. I tried to get involved and start playing a little bit with Kubernetes, but in that moment, I didn't understand what is happening with Kubernetes. So was like, let's say maybe a little bit unstable or the newer project with not too much documentation, really new concepts and that kind of things. So across the years, I started to understand the basics, the containers, DevOps stuff, and we played a lot with that technologies in the university. I remember that I was only doing like demos to the students and that kind of thing. So in that moment, I remember that when I met this guy in Salvador, I proposed myself like, try to learn these new technologies because it was really hard in that moment. And I remember that I went like a scholarship from O'Reilly Media. And in that conference, they gave us, some workshop about Kubernetes. I remember that was a really popular girl there, Bridget. I don't remember the last name, but it's very popular. She's from Microsoft. So I received some workshop of Kubernetes. She was giving this workshop. So after that conference, I started to understand the thing, and I went to another conference in Mexico about how to contribute to open source. So I say myself, well, right now I know a lot of these things. Why not to start to create a group or something? And I found an option on CNCF. So I try myself to create this community. And that's the way that I started playing with Kubernetes. Yeah. In that moment, I was only a professor. Not like a guy that was working in the industry. Well, I used to work for some consulting things, let's say for some months or something, but nothing like a regular job in the industry. So yeah, that moment when I started to create this community, I started to play with Kubernetes, understand the people that started to talk with me. I started to share, and I don't know, one thing comes to the other. Yeah. And right now I'm here.
So I think that was Bridget Kromhout. I'm not sure entirely how to pronounce her name.
Yeah, more or less.
Awesome.
That's I have a really fun story. Ooh. Let me
Toss.
I was on O'Reilly Media Conference. And I remember that in that moment, I didn't understand anything about service meshes. But I went to a conference, well, a talk that this guy was talking about Istio. So in that moment, well, I don't understand what is Istio. So I remember that was a panelist or what's the name, the guy, maybe the organizer or something. So this guy was starting to move the talk and started to manage the attendees and that kind of things, telling some jokes and that kind of things. That's really funny, really nice guy. So I said, oh, that guy is really nice. So in that moment, I said, well, maybe this guy doesn't know about these technologies, but he's so nice. So can you imagine what guy is this? Was
the creator of
Istio? Kelsey Hightower.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that was Kelsey Hightower. A year after that, I was, oh, my Hightower. Yeah. So that's the way that I really admire very human people. Yeah, that was really nice.
So Kelsey Hightower is obviously now an advocate at Google for Kubernetes, one of the nicest guys who, as we just heard, that's hilarious. You didn't know who he was. I've been there so many times myself. I want to talk a bit about the talk that you gave at KubeCon 2020. So you were talking about how to build chatbots using cloud native based on some work you did with Telefonica. Can you tell us a bit about how you got that and what you were doing there?
Yeah, for that job was like really interesting. It was a consulting job in that moment. So I remember that's really interesting because I teach in the university this kind of new technologies. I had a student that offered me that kind of job because he was working on that moment with his own startup, giving services to telco companies. Yeah, so my student gave me that job.
Yeah,
so that's really interesting. So in that moment, I remember that I didn't know too much about Kubernetes. So I say, well, this is the opportunity to experiment with Kubernetes. But, well, I have a base to choose that technology to apply it and in that telco use case in the specific. So was not like just for experiment. So what's the opportunity to experiment with that technology? So yeah, that's the reason that I get involved in that project on that moment. So yeah, it was really fun. We play in that moment a lot with Rancher. We create that chatbots using containers like in a serverless way. So in that moment, I use another project. No, it's not like, let's say that this kind of project that are incubating or that are like graduated or something, but it's one project of one of the CNCF ambassadors, Alex from OpenFast. So yeah, we use that project
in
that
moment. Yeah. Alex is the man. Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah, so in that moment, I remember that doesn't exist the Knative technology. Yeah, so in that moment, the only option for me was like to use OpenFast. So we used OpenFast to create these chatbots like serverless functions. So we call it these chatbots using Telegram and that kind of thing. So yeah, we just basically use Kubernetes, OpenFast, and some kind of machine learning models and NoSQL databases to store the logic of the chatbots and that kind of things. And the funny part is that right now I'm going to work for a company that builds chatbots for WhatsApp. So yeah.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you a question. So I saw you pop up on a few places, and one thing was which I go to pretty much daily to get ideas from for CurieFence is Linkerd's site. So I saw that you were a Linkerd hero. You already mentioned Istio. How did you get involved with the Linkerd community? And tell me a little about that.
I think that I was exploring on the CNCF, let's say these projects that they already have, maybe exploring
the landscape.
The landscape. I was really curious about that. I remember that maybe I found it trying to search something about Istio, and I decided to try it. Well, where not to try a Linkerd? Seems like could be really easy to understand or something. And I started to play with Linkerd. I say, oh my God, right now I think that I can understand Istio. So yeah, because Istio is like a service mesh plus another thing. It's a little bit more complicated, and that's another functionalities maybe outside of a service mesh. And Linkerd was essentially more like in the service mesh, pure service mesh side. So I decided to try that in that way. So I found like, well, these things seems like it's very easy to experiment. So why not to try another kind of thing? So I say, well, why not to try something that I can show in the Cubicon? So I say, well, let's use Linkerd to split the traffic and try this thing. So that's when this talk comes to the Cubicon 2020. Yeah, I use a Linkerd and Kubernetes just to split the traffic for chatbots. It's like the second version of the job that I was doing that moment with these telco companies. But yeah, that's the way that I get involved with Linkerd. And so then I think that I started to get involved with the students in the same way that I started to get in depth with my community. So I started to experiment and include Linkerd in the projects of the students. So I found like a really nice piece to experiment in the context of operating systems. So yeah, then I get this idea to present the project to the Linkerd people. And I think that's the way that I started to get in depth with the Linkerd people. And they was like, oh my God, they nominated to be the hero of February. I was like, seriously, I am a really normal guy, a Latin guy trying to play with Kubernetes. It was a really big surprise for me.
I mean, what's really interesting is that, listeners, I wish you could see just the joy coming off of Sergio's face as he's talking about these things. You know, yeah, it's like
he keeps it real.
You're passionate about it. I would love to learn, how are you building that passion in the community that you're building in Guatemala? Like, how are you helping people learn about these cool things? What talks go on? What are you offering to people who come to the events, especially during COVID?
I think that the main idea starts in Guatemala, let's say maybe on the, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, maybe there was a group on Guatemala that was called Lugusac. So was part of that Linux user groups that exists a few years ago. So I remember that I was part of that movement in that moment here in Guatemala. And we are only talking in the university. That look, USAC is the name of the university plus the look of the user groups of Linux. But that movement died in some moment and then started to appear the meetups and that kind of things. And yeah, I was so far about that things. Well, all the time I was using Linux and everything, but the movement dies in the university. So I said, why not to start something new with a new topic, something more interesting? And I started that group. And then I started to ask myself how to get involved with the students to maybe they can pick this community to be their community, not my community. So in the other side, I think that Guatemala to be like the third world country or something like that, I think that we have to break that gap about the language and everything. So I think why not to give some talks about Kubernetes, cloud native technologies, but in Spanish. So that's the idea to start to share about this knowledge and everything and try to get involved with Central America people. Just to mention something, I think that if we put together all the people from Central America, we are less people than Mexico, for example. So yeah, why not to try if Guatemala can push another countries and maybe they can start their own groups and that kind of things. And let's say that right now, because of doing this kind of things, I met Paulo, that's another ambassador from Brazil. He's trying to push Latin America to another level to be more visible for CNCF. And that kind of thing. So it's like, it's in part like my vision to share the knowledge for Latin American people, let's say more for focused on Central America and that kind of thing. So that was the beginning that begins in the university. So try to revive or to start another movement like happened in that 15 years ago. So that's the thing that appears this new group and trying to share them. I don't know. The communities are excited. That's funny. In that moment, I remember that I was not really involved in that communities. And all the people that got involved in that moment, they are using Windows and other different things instead of Linux. Yeah. And yeah, that's really, oh my God, I am the only survivor of that moment. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's really interesting.
I saw one of your talks in Spanish, and it was, I think, really important because it's showing that you can be inclusive when you're talking about open source and cloud native stuff. And it just really kind of gave me chills. I'm not lying. Like, I was like, wow, this is cool, because you saw your passion. You saw the fact that you want to bring a new light to your country and your home, because as you said before, someone, correct me if I'm wrong, someone said, oh, I thought Guatemala was a third world country. And was that what you said? I don't want to take that out of context. Yes. So it's like, when I saw your talk, when you were talking to your students, or, you know, just the talk that you were at, you could just see them looking at you, you know, like very, they're glued. And I thought it was just a really awesome moment for open source and the cloud native community.
That thing, remember me, that the time when we presented this project to Linkerd people was a really a big challenge. Well, for me, talking in English here, this is a big challenge too. So yeah, trying to do my best. So in that moment, I remembered that, let's say that in my universities, they are not requiring the English language just to go out to the university, but I tried to push my students to study the language. So I was trying to organize the whole thing. Well, some students say, well, I can't talk too much in English. I mentioned, well, let's prepare something. Maybe you can read something. And the guys from the class that maybe could talk better in English, maybe they can explain these kind of things. But it's important to have that participation to break that gap and everything. So it's like, when another student start to see that their partners are showing the project or something, there's a US guy there, people that is getting involved in the open source thing. When another country, let's say I have a friend in the community that is from Nicaragua, he's a professor too, only a professor. And when he started to see that thing, we started to create some close friendship and that kind of thing. So we started to share projects, content, and things like that. And the last thing that we did with my students was create a small event. We call it like CNCF Students Day. I was the idea to create an event like that. So almost all the talks in that moment was given for students by students. So they shared some workshops about Kubernetes, Docker, the essential things, DevOps concepts. And I remember, that's the thing that I remember, that one girl that was an attendee there, she said that was really exciting that another student from another university shared that knowledge. Yeah, she was expressing her feelings and that kind of things. So that part was awesome. The impact that you have on the students in another countries that maybe don't have too much access to this kind of technology. So it's very excited. I'm motivated for the students and that kind of things. Yeah, it was really impressive.
I'm really curious about open source in general in Central America, because whenever I look at open source projects, and I've run into a few of them before from Central America and also from Mexico, it's often based on telecoms. It's often the telecom stuff where things are really happening. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of low-level Linux stuff, or there's a lot of JavaScript libraries coming out. I've seen JavaScript libraries that are independent and really interesting in their own right coming out of Brazil. But Brazil also has much larger population, a lot of cities that are a bit more developed than a lot of Central America. So I'm just curious if that's a right assessment. Like, how would you judge the open source movement in Central America?
Well, let's say that telco companies here in Central America, because they have a lot of process and concurrency things, and they need a really top level technologies to solve these kind of problems. So I think that the telcos by itself in each country in Central America, they have the best technology. But in the other side, they are like starting to move on new kind of jobs to work for a foreign people that work for US people or people from Mexico. That's the way that I pick this job with Wiseline. I try to pick something in on LinkedIn and that kind of thing. So that I find Wiseline, they are in Mexico. And I was working on Guatemala and everything. This new job, this is the same story. And I think that the philosophy here in Guatemala, because we are like a third world country, they promote or they see the benefits of just open source, because you don't have to pay license. and that kind of things. Well, let's say that my university, the public university, has that kind of mindset too. I think that is more because we are third world country or something like that, but we look that advantage or benefits of open source because you have to spend less money to create a solution. So I think that's the reason that Central America people is using open source in general. Well, in my country here in Guatemala, let's say that it's like a small part really getting involved in new technology is called tech. This tech side is in one side of the city. So that place, there are a lot of startups using new technologies and everything. And there are a lot of meetups hosting in that place. So
cool.
Yeah, that's the way that the open source is moving here in Guatemala.
Where do you think the future is? Like, where is it going right now in terms of Spanish involvement in cloud native? Do you have an answer to that?
In my opinion, after working for a foreign people that is, let's say, in Mexico or outside, I think that is the next human force, maybe, because in general, I think that there's US people contract, foreign people. The most of people are from India and maybe China or something like that. But I think that the Latin people is the next force power of working or something. I think that the Latin people has right now is moving on that side to work for foreign people and that kind of things. I think that in the case of Guatemala, it's starting right now. I think that, let's say, El Salvador is a step behind of us. They already started on that things. Costa Rica, too. I think that Guatemala is starting on these moments. I think that the situation of the pandemic of the COVID-19 is pushing Guatemala people to work for foreign people and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's very interesting for me. I think I remember that I talked on O'Reilly Media in this conference called OSCOM. And when I went to Portland, yeah. So in Portland, Oregon, I remember that the trains has some advices in Spanish. And Oregon was really far from Guatemala and they are talking Spanish there. So I think that is the next force work with the Latin people. So I think that, yeah, in the case of this kind of organizations like CNCF that are promoting this diversity and inclusion, I think that is the next thing for working force for Latin people or something to get involved with more Latin people. I think Mexico is really big to work on technology and they are working for big US companies. So yeah, I think that is something that is growing right now.
So you're thinking that Latin America is going to be like the next hub in terms of outsourcing, just like India is. India right now, a lot of US work is outsourced in contracts for that. So you're saying Latin America is setting up for that?
Maybe. I think that could be possible. Let's say that in this work, we were like 2 Mexican people, 1 from Guatemala and 2 Indians. So yeah, it's almost half and a half. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really interesting. Maybe we are half and a half. Maybe another years later, it could be more or I don't know.
It's going to be interesting in the US too. You mentioned Oregon, right? I just looked up the stats. Oregon has 4.5 million people and 12% are Hispanic, 10% are just Mexican. So that's 400,000, 500,000 people in the state of Oregon who speak Spanish as a first language. Or who are descended from people of Hispanic ancestry and probably speak Spanish. I mean, that's not directly a thing. So that's really interesting. And as America increasingly goes towards a multi-diverse population, we're going to have more and more people who know multiple languages and code in multiple languages, which is going to be super fun. So things like the CNCF, they have a diversity program. You have to be certified to be diverse to join the CNCF. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with multiple languages in the future. And how to build your programs and your open source programs to cater towards people who may not be the best at English. And I think this is going to be the real future of open source because there's no reason it has to stick with the Anglophones. We can talk all day, but if we exclude half the world's population who are really good at coding just as well, it's not going to go very far. So I'm really interested to see how America and the West in general deals with the fact that we're too Anglocentric. Yeah. Hopefully CNCF will have a role to play there.
Very interesting. I think that for me, let's say that the top countries as a working force for IT technologies are like, I can say that Mexico is a really huge one and some South America countries like Brazil Argentina, Colombia, and that countries are in the top of the working force for IT and working for foreign people. I think that Central America is not too much, maybe Costa Rica, Salvador, and the other countries are starting, or I don't know what is happening. Let's say Nicaragua, maybe it's going to start in some years. I don't know what is happening in Honduras. We are trying to find the people from Central America. There's no presence of Honduras. Talking about in a specific of CNCF things, Nicaragua, we're starting to have some contact. Salvador is working on that, starting.
I mean, Justin and I work with a founder, Pia Mancini, who's Argentinian, one of the most awesome people I know. So it's definitely happening there. I want to segue back to open source a bit, because that is, you know, one of the things that you're really passionate about. And I'm curious, what projects are you super excited about in the future? What lights the fire in you concerning cloud native?
I think that I am really curious about edge computing. I have a crazy idea that I want to experiment, but when we can work in the university, in the classrooms and that kind of things, because right now maybe it could be impossible. I think that the projects that I presented on KubeCon right now, I have this idea to experiment with edge computing. Maybe students riding a bicycle, and maybe we can detect the position and compile information with Kubernetes, the K3S project or something. Great, maybe machine models to detect how you can go to the other side of the university and save some time or something. I don't know. I have that crazy ideas of edge computing or everything. I think that I am really interested in that, machine learning things. Well, in the context of CNCF, yeah, I think I can say maybe edge computing and chaos engineering. Yeah. Right now, I don't know. I can mention that right now we are working with some students in some thesis. So we sent a proposal to KubeCon. So he's going to present a thesis about how to use service meshes for chaos engineering. So yeah, we are working on that. And maybe it's the next project for our students in the class. So, and the next one, maybe the next year, this project about edge computing. So we have to see what happens with that ideas. Yeah.
What's the name of that student?
It's Jossi Castrillo, I think.
Keep your ears open and your eyes wide for that. Awesome.
I don't know if this is the first student in KubeCon or something like that, or presenting a thesis is something different, I think.
Yeah, that's good. That's academic work, right? That's cutting edge technology. You're talking about the bicycles across the university made me think, and using Kubernetes to do that's a really cool idea. Definitely get in touch with the OpenStreetMap people. OpenStreetMaps Guatemala is a really active group from what I can tell. So that sounds really cool.
Yeah. Just to kind of do a full circle, Mesosphere was a university project.
Yeah, so who knows? We have to see what happens. With
you never know.
Kind of, right?
Yep. Yeah. Could be the next Kubernetes.
So who knows?
Sergio, where can people follow you online? Where can they keep in touch with what you're doing? How can they watch your every move?
Yeah. So,
like, what's your Twitter account and the like?
My Twitter account is Sergio ARMGPL. You can follow me with the same username on LinkedIn, almost all the social networks. Yeah. Sergio ARMGPL. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. I really loved it. Learned a ton of stuff. Now is the time of the show where we get on to Spotlight. So Spotlight's a bit where we talk about projects that have given us a leg up for people that are really awesome that we feel like should get more praise. So we try to do this in every show. It's a new tradition in a way, just because the podcast is new. So if you don't mind, Justin, what's your spotlight today?
I'm going to have to say Jekyll. We're moving curiefence.io over to Jekyll, and it's been a real pleasure. So thank you to the Ruby community for making that happen.
Awesome. Mine is two people, Alexis Palmer and Robert Henderson, and they're working directly with Uspenteco speakers in, I think, Guatemala. Certainly Central America, to try to get human rights and first aid is the actual thing. Two speakers of indigenous Mayan languages by using computational linguistics to actually translate things into Uspenteco and Quiche, which is super, super cool. A lot of Mayan indigenous languages are totally underserved and low resourced. And there are computational linguists out there working on these languages. And those are two who I've had a lot of contact with. So I want to talk about them. Sergio, is there any projects that you feel like need a little love that are super cool that helped you out, and any researchers?
I think that maybe Alex from OpenFast is working on a lot of things. I think that he's launching and other things. Well, we have a project. We are trying to push Latin America CNCF for like a next Latin America or Cubicon Latam or something like that. So I think that I can promote that. This kind
Can
of
I come? Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a Cubicon Latam. Yeah. For Latin America.
I'm coming. I want to come.
We are trying to push that.
It's Alex Ellis, right?
Yeah, Alex Ellis. Yeah.
He look him up if you're listening to this.
Yeah, he's very involved in edge computing and K3S and Raspberry things.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He's on a different level.
He's a creator.
And so are you. Again, I want to thank you so much for coming on this podcast. It was awesome to have you. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you and take care. And we look forward to seeing more investment from Guatemala in CNCF stuff.
Yeah. Bye, y'all.